Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 10, which says, "Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now, in our last episode, we started looking at the issue of prayer and looking at some of the passages that individuals try to use to say that would be for prayer in this dispensation. And we looked at how those passages cannot apply to a member of the body of Christ today. We find our doctrine in the writings of Romans through Philemon, given to us by the Apostle Paul. This is the only information that can be used for those who are members of the body of Christ to actually give the doctrine needed for what God intends for us to be following in order to be pleasing unto Him, in order to be serving Him in the way that He intends for us to serve. Now, when we look at prayer, you know, prayer is an important part of the life of a believer. Once we have put our trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and putting our trust in that and that alone gives us our salvation. This is the thing of now we are saved, and now we need to have the information that would be pleasing unto Him, that doctrine that we need to follow. And we see how Paul is going to talk about the issue of prayer throughout his epistles. Let's turn, we're here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over to chapter number 5. For a moment, we're going to see the Apostle Paul say something here as he's closing out this epistle to these saints in Thessalonica about the issue of prayer. We're going to read verses 17 and 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and says, "Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now we see how through these two verses, the issue of prayer and thanksgiving go together. We've talked many different times throughout these broadcasts about how every time that Paul is talking about the issue of prayer, that we see the issue of thanksgiving being brought up in very close context, because these two things are actually going to go together. Now we see how Paul says, "And pray without ceasing." The issue of prayer is that this is supposed to be such a big part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ, that our communication with God, and that's what prayer is, our communication with Him is happening so often that it can be seen as to be without ceasing. And individuals have this notion of, well, I can only pray if I get down on my knees, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. You know, I have to go into my prayer closet. All these different things that are the thoughts of man. And you see how God looks and says that we should be praying without ceasing. So no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, we should be having that prayer communication with God. And we're going to see the next passage that we go to what it is that we should be praying for. And this is one of those verses that does cause some controversy among those who are in this dispensation, who understand right division, because they'll take this idea and we'll kind of twist around the words that the Apostle Paul uses. Let's go over to Philippians chapter number 4. I'm going to see how Paul closing out this message to the saints in Philippi is going to, again, make a mention of the issue of prayer. And he's going to show exactly what he means about the what it is that we should be praying for. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter number 4. And it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, when Paul's talking about that issue of prayer, he says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, when Paul says the words "in everything," he literally means in everything. One of the things that has caused this problem for people is they look and say, well, our blessings are spiritual because we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Our citizenship is in heaven. So our prayer life should be reflecting only the spiritual things, and we should not pray for any physical things at all. Now, that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. When he says "in everything," he literally means in everything, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a spiritual thing, because the end result of the prayer and supplication, letting the request be made known unto God, is that the peace of God is going to come on the individual because they've offered up a prayer to God related to whatever the situation is, whether it's a spiritual issue, whether it's a physical issue. They've offered up this prayer, and they now have a peace that comes upon them, and a peace that comes upon them that's coming from God. Now, individuals have taken this idea so much of the fact that saying, well, Paul says we should only be praying for spiritual things, that when they find out that somebody is praying for something other than a spiritual thing, they look at them as almost as being a heretic or not wanting to have anything to do with that individual, because they look and say, well, you're praying for a physical thing. You think you're part of Israel's program. You think you're going to receive those physical blessings. The person who's praying for everything is following the commands of the Apostle Paul. Following Paul as he followed Christ and is praying the way that Paul gives us the instructions of how it is that we should be praying. So when somebody's, they're actually doing the right thing. The person who's restricting their prayer life is causing unnecessary problems for themselves because they're not receiving the peace that God is promising for them. We see how Paul even gives specific examples of some of his prayers in his epistles. We're going to look at a couple of these things, especially as they relate to getting the gospel message out. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter number 4. I'm going to see how Paul is going to say something here. And again, ending this epistle to an assembly, speaking of prayer, we're going to start in verse number 2 of Colossians chapter number 4. We're going to go down through verse 4. And verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Now, this prayer is related to the fact that as the members of the body of Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. We have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Our responsibility is to be preaching the gospel message to individuals today, fulfilling the will that God has, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So this prayer that Paul is offering up here is that a door of utterance would be open, an opportunity to actually speak and give the gospel to somebody. This is what Paul's praying about, you know, related to this door of utterance. He's talking about, you know, whatever situation that he is finding himself in, that he's praying for this opportunity to come about to be able to preach this message. This is going to tie in with, if we turn over to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6, another epistle where he's ending thing talking about the issue of prayer. We're going to see how he's again going to be speaking about this utterance, but he's going to say something else. Where in Colossians he's talking about praying for the opportunity, verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to see another aspect that goes along with this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20 as well, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the Apostle Paul, the individual that had all of this information committed unto him, the individual who identifies himself as the Apostle of the Gentiles. In this same epistle, in chapter 3, is talked about how he saw his responsibility is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. These are things that he understood of who he is and what his responsibility is. And yet even he is talking about how he's asking for prayer related to a boldness to proclaim this message. So not only does the Apostle Paul pray for the issue of these opportunities to speak the message, which you saw over in the book of Colossians, but here in Ephesians, he's talking about needing a spirit of boldness to come upon him to boldly proclaim this message. And it says, as I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul's identifying the fact that there are times where he felt that he didn't have that boldness to proclaim this message, and saying, you know what, I need prayer to be able to make sure that I'm going to be able to boldly proclaim this message to lost individuals. Now, I'm sure all of us can think about lost opportunities that we've had, times when we should have shared this message with somebody, and, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't feel comfortable enough about doing it at that time. You know, if our apostle needed that boldness, we, as the members of the body of Christ who are following his pattern, are going to need that same prayer for that boldness. You know, some individuals, the thing of walking up to somebody they don't know and sharing this message is the most natural thing for them to do. And for other people, if you said go over to that person and talk with them and share the gospel with them, that they would not be able to put two words together, that they would be, you know, almost having a panic attack over the fact that they had to go speak to somebody that they didn't know and actually try to carry on a conversation. And most people are somewhere in between those two people on the comfort that they have in being able to strike up a conversation with someone and share this message. And no matter where a person falls, there should be that prayer to have that boldness to proclaim this message. Because there's going to be times where it's going to be difficult. There's going to be times where there's going to be resistance to sharing this message. And when individuals encounter that resistance, it becomes very easy to want to give up and not actually do anything of where I'm going to actually share this message with anybody else, because I don't want to have to face whatever that situation is that's making me uncomfortable. That goes through the mind of a lot of individuals. That's where that boldness needs to actually come through, to actually be able to say, okay, you can feel comfortable enough to be able to go over and speak to this individual, to share this message, to be able to give them the hope that this gospel message actually gives. Because when a person puts their trust in the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 in the first four verses, and they become sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteed of their salvation, there's also the guarantee of the hope that they will be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity, ruling and reigning with Him in the heavenly places. That's the hope and guarantee that we have. That's the hope and guarantee that we should be motivating us to want to share this message with others. So that way they can have that same hope. Because the issue of hope is really what this world needs. You know, we see all of the different things. You know, it doesn't take long watching the news to see how the news and what's going on in the world can be very discouraging to individuals. And yet for us, the members of the body of Christ, we don't have that same discouragement, because we know that we have that guarantee and that hope, and we know what is going to happen for us. And knowing that everything that's here is just a temporary thing compared to what's going to happen for us in all of eternity. Now, continuing on with the issue of prayer, let's turn over to Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to see Paul list here in these verses an issue related to prayer that is an important thing that to kind of realize, because you know, one of the things that'll come up is why I don't know what I should be praying for. The scriptures, you know, we've looked at some of these verses. It says to pray for everything, but how do I actually do this? Now we're gonna look at some things specifically about, you know, some of the prayers that Paul offered up. You know, and that probably will actually end up being in our next episode. But when I actually look here, Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 26, 27, and 28 related to the issue of prayer and how it is that we should be praying. Verse 26 of Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, every member of the body of Christ is identified as the called. So what Paul is saying here is going to apply to all of us. And looking at the issue of how the Spirit, you know, one part of the Godhead, is going to help us related to our prayer life and help with us because of our infirmities, because of the limitations of the fleshly body that we walk in, because of the limitations of even our understanding of the Word of God rightly divided, that there's a limitation that we have that causes us, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That the limitations we have means that we don't know exactly what we should be praying for. You know, even though we've been instructed to pray without ceasing, to pray about all things, Paul's also telling us that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But it's the Spirit that's going to make intercession for us, and makes intercession for us in a way that we don't hear what's been actually offered up as prayer. We don't have any understanding of what's been offered up as prayer. But the Spirit has made intercession for us. There's a searching that goes on, and the intercession is made according to the will of God. And the intercession is made so that way all things work out according to His purpose. You know, and this is why so many individuals struggle with this, the idea of prayer, because their thought process of what prayer is, you know, that it's almost the same as the movies where a person finds the lamp and they rub it and then the genie comes out of it and the genie says that you have 3 wishes because you've summoned the genie. And looking at it as well, that prayer is nothing more than the equivalent of that I'm going to get anything that I ask. And that ties in with those verses that we looked at in our last episode. And if you didn't listen to it, I would encourage you to listen to that, to kind of look at those verses and what the prayer is not supposed to be there during this dispensation. Because one of those passages was the ask and ye shall receive, and saying, well, you know, I'm gonna ask for whatever I want, and then when I don't get it, becoming very discouraged because, well, that passage back in Matthew said that I was going to receive it. I didn't receive things, so there has to be something wrong with me. Or, is, you know what, God's a liar, and so I'm just going to give up, and I'm not going to do anything at this point. Well, the reality of things is, as a member of the body of Christ, the Spirit is making intercession for us, taking that prayer that we're offering it up, changing the things around, and God is answering that prayer. There is no such thing as really the unanswered prayer, because God is answering every prayer of a member of the body of Christ. He's just not answering in the way that we think. We think that we should just be getting whatever we want, and that we look and say, well, he just, you know, maybe he just said no. You know, and you hear somebody, that God's answer to your prayer is either yes, no, or wait a little bit. Well, God's answer to the idea of prayer is He's answering that prayer that the Spirit is offering up, making that intercession, doing the things that match up with the will of God, working out according to His purpose, and that's the answer that we are receiving. And when we know that this is the answer that we are receiving, we can see how that would actually be a comfort to us, knowing that God is actually answering the prayers that we're offering up, knowing that the way that He's answering it is matching up with His will, and that we are doing the things that are pleasing unto Him. This should be our encouragement. Now, like I said, next time we're going to continue on with a little bit related to this issue of prayer and look at some of these very specific examples that the Apostle Paul gives. And we're going to look at how a lot of these are actually going to tie in with those physical things, not just spiritual things. And we're going to see how they're all going to come from his epistles as those examples. So that's what we'll look at during next week's broadcast. Now, as we close here, I have to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook as it's being broadcast. Information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.